Hello, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
Oh, baby, isn't it? Yep. You remember that dude on Storage Wars where people are like, how much money do you want to spend? This one had this big storage unit is full of pictures of their kids, a broken bike, and half of an LCD TV. And my man is
and
like
the mystery box.
And the mystery box with four ingredients. And my guy, instead of saying like, I would like that, please, he swings and they're like, yep. And they just have to like decipher the intention behind that. Because it always means I will pay more money for that.
Mm-hmm.
What a wild way of doing that, huh? I can't go to the Kroger and just take muffins up to the register, and they'll be like, that'll be $2.95, and then I'm like, yep. They won't know what that means.
Well, you don't need a catchphrase in the grocery store the way you need a catchphrase on a reality television program.
Do you think he's when he's like doing storage unit buy offs, not on TV? He's still yups.
Yeah, I don't know. If you see him on the street and you say, do it.
Do it. Oh, you know he'll. That's without question. So, this is wonderful. This is a show where, you know what the kind of show this is. We are late doing this episode, and we'll just put the lay out our cards so you can see them like a bad poker player does it. Because you're not usually supposed to show the cards. Because then everybody knows what cards you have and they can beat you at the game.
Yes.
We like you listening to this show, statistically, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Are not in the best shape.
No.
Of mentally speaking, of our lives right now.
We're like little gargoyles perched on our furniture, just waiting, just ready to pounce.
Quite literally.
Just tense.
At certain parts of this week, quite literally perched on the edge of the couch, my claws dug into the fabric, just sort of screeching. We could go into detail, I think, about what happened on election night and what is still happening and how hugely disappointing and disconcerting and maybe a little bit hopeful about what can still happen. But I don't know. I don't want us to do our usual thing, I think, of where we're just like talking about things that we love and things that we're into, which is what we usually do when there is so much at stake right now, because I don't want people to think that we are ignoring that or trying to move past it, because I can assure you, just based on the cumulative hours of sleep we have gotten over the last two evenings, that is, we are extremely preoccupied with it as well.
Yeah. I mean, do I still like peanut butter in a pretzel? Yes.
Yeah. Is this
do
the
I
most...
like cream cheese on a bagel? Yes.
Yeah, but
did I feel like researching the history of cream cheese on a bagel? No, I didn't.
Oh, so that's Rachel's way of telling you that we haven't really. Some weeks it is tough for us to really batten down the hatches and say, "Today I have spent some time researching cream cheese on a bagel." This week it's inconceivable.
But we didn't want to. I mean, and maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but I felt like if we didn't put out a show this week,
the terrorists win.
Yes, the terrorists win. It would be like us saying, well, nothing wonderful in the world. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, it may seem that way a little bit more than it did Tuesday morning. But
yeah.
So literally, Rachel and I have sat down in my office. It's 9:22 a.m. Central Time. And just kind of pressed record. And we're not 100% certain what is going to come out. So far, it's been a sort of at-length Storage Wars discussion. Mm-hmm. Not really sure why.
You know what I was thinking about is when we started this show,
yeah,
it was in reaction to a problem we were having watching reality television and feeling like it was terrible.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's do a show where we talk about wonderful things. And then the world progressively got more terrible, and now we're in a situation where it's like, should we start talking about space? Maybe. Exclusively space.
Let's talk about space. Space. No air. No oxygen. No. So already, you're at a pretty steep disadvantage there.
What about under the sea?
I mean, you know, I like that.
I guess we have talked about that a little bit, huh?
You know what? Yeah. I mean, especially our cruise episode. I'm like into that whole aesthetic these days.
I know.
Mermaids.
Yeah.
Whales.
Yep.
Anemones. Sometimes I say that word just to brag about how I can say it.
I know. You seem so confident saying it.
I read a book. It was like one of those like Young Encyclopedia. What was like the brand of like Young Encyclopedia? It wasn't Britannica. It was the...
It was Encyclopedia with a Z at the end.
It was Encyclopedias. And it had a little like mnemonic device for how to say that word. And it's like asking somebody if they have any money. Anemone. Any money.
They could have just—they could have referenced Eddie Money.
And they could have just said, "Just say Eddie Money really fast, and what's the time? You're gonna get through it." Mm-hmm. So we've talked about just kind of going through some of the older episodes and relitigating the things that we talked about then.
Yeah, and or just, you know, maybe reminiscing about a time where we could talk about orange soda.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we can go kind of hard on the small wonders. Because like the things that are my interests, which is to say like shit like video games. Like next week, if this election wasn't happening and so contested and you know, really taking the wind out of our sails, next week there's a new game console that comes out, and like that's really exciting. Harmonix has a new game that comes out next week.
But you got
like
besties.
There's so much cool.
You got besties for
we got
that.
Besties for that, I guess. But it is, I mean, it's something I'm excited about. It's something that like it is weird to, and sort of guilt inducing to have something that I'm looking forward to when the other like 96% of my brain share is like completely occupied.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how you've been staying on top of things, your various clicks and clacks and your 3 a.m. phone checks? And
yeah, no, I mean, I'm not proud of it. I've mostly been sort of dialed into, I don't know, four or five different. I've been looking at Twitter again, God help me, because it is... I've curated my list down to a point where I feel like I'm getting pretty good information from it.
I mentioned that because I communicated to Griffin that I was basically hanging around one site, just watching whatever they showed me, and he was aghast.
Oh, no, I've got a plurality of... I dip into 538, I dip into NBC News, ABC, I dip into WAPO, I dip into... Mm-hmm. I get that Times needle. I'm not proud. I mean, the needle is not a great needle, but sometimes I don't love the way it makes me feel, though. I was up until about 3:30 last night.
Does it connect you back to your journalism days? Do you feel that journalism rush of like, I'm in the middle of it? This is history happening.
No, because I mean, I did a stint as a sort of statewide reporter on the 2008 election for MTV News. I don't really talk about that a whole lot because it was just such a weird thing. They had representatives. They had like teen representatives. Well, not teen. It was, I guess like 20, 21. But they had young representatives from each state covering the state for the 2008 presidential election, which was Obama's election for the first term. And it was so like the writing was so on the wall, maybe not in West Virginia necessarily, but like everywhere else, that it was, I don't know, exciting. I was at Marshall University. And so like talking to Marshall students was like typically like pretty, you know, exciting. And it made me like have to give a shit about the election in a way that I really hadn't before, because I was coming from the last presidential election, I was coming in from a fairly sheltered
You weren't particularly position. Political, I would say.
I wasn't particularly political. I was you know, I was left leaning, but so, like when I was like embroiled in the, especially like in the Southern Baptist Church where we grew up, like those leanings weren't necessarily catered to or nourished or tended to in any kind of way. So the 2008 election was just like a fucking sugar rush, because it was like me learning about all these things while also sort of blossoming into my liberalism. And this doesn't feel quite like that. This feels different. Yeah, I don't know how we got off talking about that. Okay. But anyway. Before we get into the relitigation, do you have any small wonders? A thing that you are kind of into, kind of excited about?
You know, I'm gonna say holiday decor.
Okay.
Has been a more appealing to me this time around. I was never somebody that, you know, really really went hard in the seasonal trimmings.
Yeah.
But this year I've found it really helpful and kind of like both like helping our son kind of get adjusted to time as it passes.
Yeah.
But also to kind of remind myself and make things feel different. So we had Halloween little window clings.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Griffin about how maybe we get Thanksgiving window clings and maybe we become a window cling family.
When Crimbo comes around. Oh my God. Crimbo and Hanukkah. How many a menorah for each room? Let's go. Yeah, I think I'm going to be pretty insufferable about that this year because we're not doing anything else really for the holidays. So let's get gaudy about it.
What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, video games are pretty good right now. I don't really know what to say. I mentioned Harmonix has a new game coming out next week, and it's basically a video game version of Drop Mix, which I've talked about on this show. It's the one where you put the cards down on the board and it makes a remix of it. But you can like do remixes with other people online. I've been watching footage of it all morning and it looks like something that could be really, really funny. I would like to like stream it and just try to put together the worst sort of mashup of, you know, bad guy and all-star that I could possibly do. Yeah, that might be fun. I wish it was out right now so I could do something to take my mind off of the stuff. But yeah, I mean, this is always a really exciting time for games, which I care deeply about. And, you know, we're about to get two new consoles and all the big late fall blockbusters. So, you know, that's cool. That's cool and exciting. My Animal Crossing renovation is also nearly done.
Griffin got back on the Animal Crossing. It was wild to hear you talking about turnips again.
I just tore everything down to the studs. And it's looking good. It's looking promising. I think I'm going to win the big prize.
I saw that you had a picture of an island that you were using as inspiration.
Yeah, I've been looking at a few. God, the Animal Crossing New Horizons like fan base has like really... what's the word, like coalesced around like a few different like aesthetics and a few different, so there's like cottage core and there's like cluttered core and like all of these different ways that like natural. And so it like just, I wanted to get a little bit more natural with my layout.
Yeah.
And so I've been looking at different layouts to get there. So nobody cares about that. So let's talk about the past.
Yeah, let's take a little trip.
Boy, this is going to be wild, huh?
Uh-huh.
Because it would be, I think, pretty irresponsible to talk about the grand prize game in this climate. It would be irresponsible to talk about, getting a haircut. That doesn't play so well in November 2020, I think.
Yeah, Foursquare, difficult to play.
Difficult to play. I mean, a lot of these... Rachel's chili. Rachel's chili. Rachel's chili.
It's so loud.
Episode 7, Dog Beach. Rachel's chili. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So for those of you that were active during the Max Fun Drive this year, you may have seen a little video of me making it in our very own kitchen. This is something that I think continues to enrich our lives.
Absolutely.
As the weather gets colder, it continues to seem like a good idea.
Yes.
I would recommend today just as heartily as I did in the past.
Crockpot, beans, tomatoes, ground beefs, spices.
Lots of spices.
Lots of spices.
Mm-hmm.
Or ground turkey. You pour that in a crockpot, get that meat potpourri. I almost certainly made that exact reference when we talked about Rachel's chili last time. But it holds true.
It does.
You make that on a chilly Sunday. Getting it going at 10 a.m.?
Now, I want to ask you about pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice,
are
interesting.
Are you still team pumpkin spice?
No. Well, not drinkable.
I didn't know if as you had aged, the sweetness of pumpkin spice had become a little cloying.
God, did I talk about PSLs? Or like, was I specifically on that tip? Or was I talking about like a pumpkin spice? A pumpkin bread, a pumpkin muffin, the Trader Joe's little pumpkin Oreo guys. I forget what they're called. You like, absolutely, sign me up every time. Because it's pumpkin and pumpkin solid and pumpkin, you eat a solid food. Right? It's pumpkin, pumpkin solid, and you eat a solid food. But a drink of pumpkin? A drink of pumpkin?
Well, it's more, I think you talked a lot about like the combo, right? Of like the cloves and the cinnamon and the nutmeg.
Oh, that's all. Oh, yeah. The spice itself is like amazing.
Yeah.
It's super duper good. But like, I, you know, the word that almost always follows pumpkin spice is latte. And it just, I cannot do a sugary drink beyond my sugar-free hazelnut coffee mate. Like, that's as wild as I'm willing to get. I'm not going to name names about members of my family, but Justin will bring in some truly buck wild coffee creamers to his scenario.
He likes the seasonal flavor.
He likes the seasonal flavor, but then, like, I'll visit, and he'll have, like, cinnamon roll coffee creamer. And it's like...
Is that too much for you?
It's too much.
Sometimes
I'll because
look.
You eat it, you... The cinnamon roll is solid. And you eat a solid. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, a hazelnut is a solid, but you'll still...
Barely.
Okay.
Barely. I mean, let's talk about... You know what I've actually been really into again lately? Episode 14, Tomorrow's News, chess. I've been watching YouTube videos where this very polite Russian man runs through chess games very, very quickly and describes like what makes them interesting. I forget the name of the channel, and that's a shame, but I watched it because I really want to watch that Queen's Gambit show that's on Netflix because I love good chess programming.
But you're doing research before you do?
Well, it doesn't like go into the show. It like talks about one game from the show or like I watched an episode that was about Searching for Bobby Fischer, which is a movie I barely remember, but he's like, here's what happened in Searching for Bobby Fischer, and it's based on this actual game that happened, only it makes a divergence here, and you can see why. I don't know, like, I still don't think I'm a very good chess player, because once I have to start thinking about like more than one move out, my brain just stops functioning. But I got a hankering for chess.
I know, I do want to watch that show. I do, much like I like movies about baseball, I do like movies about chess.
Yes.
Even though I am not one who plays it.
My hope is that you will watch it and then be like, let's play a little bit of chess. I promise you, it has been so long since I have played chess that I am not going to be a
particularly
skilled.
People that play chess bring an energy to the game that makes me, as a novice, feel a little off balance.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, well, this, and I'm still trying to remember what the pieces do.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to be like, oh, you're five moves ahead of where I am right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you could do what Henry does and just like, if you have a rook, it can smash into all the pieces.
Yeah.
And then they go to jail.
He does know the names of the pieces, which sounds impressive when he's talking to people.
Yeah, until you see him put the fucking Riddler on the board. He's like, this is the Riddler, and he allows me to stomp on all your guys. Quick shout out, episode 26, the lightsabers. He's been curious. He's seen the Force, and he's been like, tell me more about this.
Uh-huh.
Tell me more about this. He loves stormtroopers so much. And I want to tell him, like, man, that's really sort of a stand-in.
We watched a little bit of it, and there's a scene, you know, where they're trying to escape the Death Star. And as they're pulling away, Henry's like, are the stormtroopers okay?
Rachel said yes.
Yes,
and
they
looked at Rachel like, hun, they're okay for like the next like 18 minutes.
Well, what
but
I
do you
said
remember
is,
what happens at the end of Star Wars?
What I said is, and this is a good lesson for everybody, really, is there will always be stormtroopers. Maybe those four or five we saw on screen aren't going to be okay, but there will always be more stormtroopers.
But I don't know what it means. That's a scary, like when you say that to me, that is a scary sort of statement about the
yeah, that's true.
The sort of
for him, it is reassuring.
The constant of fascism in like all of its forms. But Henry hears that and he's like, "Oh, good,
okay." I mean, they look really cool.
They do. He was really confused why they couldn't use lightsabers, and I was like, "Well, it's possible that some of them could be force sensitive in some way, but like." You know, Finn used one. He was a former stormtrooper, although he didn't really end up being the sort of like Jedi focus. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I think it's confusing for a young child because Darth Vader looks evil, right?
Yes.
He's got like an evil look. But stormtroopers, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of marshmallowy. You know?
Yeah, I think it takes a little bit to learn that a bunch of people holding guns dressed up in combat gear,
that's fair,
in sort of uniform combat gear, working for Darth Vader is a bad thing, just mm-hmm. generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so episode 18, Amazing Race, we were pleased to see that the new season has started. Watch the first episode.
Oof.
It existed like pre-COVID time, so they are just running all over the world.
Unmasked.
Not a care. First episode. First episode was the Steel Drum episode. And I wanted to share. Man. I wanted to share. You know, I don't see myself as a contestant in these shows particularly often.
Every single episode, every single challenge, I am running the calculus in my head of whether
partially
or not I can do it.
Partially because I'm so practical. I'm just like, the way I feel when I get hungry would make it impossible for me to be a contestant on a reality show. But Griffin saw this steel drum challenge and was just like, I bet I'd crush that.
They had steel drums numbered the different space, like the different tones were numbered 1 through 8, yeah. right? And then they had sheet music for, what was the song?
Oh, Deo?
Deo, yeah.
I don't know if that's the actual title.
And they had sheet music, they just had the numbers. And I get that like musical ability is not something that everybody had, but like I saw this challenge and for whatever reason, I was like, I would fucking crush this.
He is so confident.
Rarely am I that confident about like, you know, if it's like roll this keg down the streets of Barcelona, I see that. I'm like, fuck no, of course not. But the steel drum, ooh boy. I think I'd be a really accomplished steel drum player.
Makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, you are a video game enthusiast, and you bring that skill to those types of challenges for sure.
Yeah. Not sure how video game. I guess Donkey Konga with the little drum.
Well, no, like
controller.
Rock Band, like where you have to translate the colors to what your hands are doing.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of the same thing.
Hey, should we take a real quick break and then we'll come back with more just sort of Seinfeld-esque nothing talk? Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Hey, here's a Grenville bomb, and this one is for Sydney, and it's from JB, who says, Happy birthday, Sydney. I couldn't get you a booster box of Crimson Invasion, but I hope this message from your favorite podcast couple is just as good. You are a wonderful friend and beautiful person. I wish you the very best on this special day. I promise your gacha pools will be filled with 6 stars. Looking forward to the next meetup. All right. All right. So Rachel said, Griffin, will you read this one? Because I understand very little.
Do you know what Crimson Invasion is?
I don't.
Oh,
I'm assuming it's a gacha game of some sort. Which is like, a gachapon. You know a gachapon?
Yeah,
a capsule toy machine. It's like that, but for video games. And so it's like, spend $1 and maybe you'll get a character that you want, but you almost certainly won't. But spend $50,000 more and maybe you'll get the character. You still didn't? Oh boy, that's a bad beat. 6 stars, though. I mean, even not knowing anything about this game, six stars is a lot of stars, and
that
I would
seem like
love to get me some of those.
This next message is for John. It is from Olivia. There is no one else on this earth that I would want to quarantine or shelter in place with than you. You are my constant, my best friend, my favorite music director, and the most amazing cat dad to our babies, Leopold and Lenny. We are so grateful for you. My heart, my life, and perhaps a few of my French fries are all yours. Happy birthday, my love.
That's huge. That's huge. The French fries is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's so huge. Mm-hmm. I have recently, maybe I talked about this on the show, because I for sure talked about French fries, but like Henry's really into them, and he saw me eating them once, and he was like, hey, you like French fries too? And after thinking about it, I was like, yeah, they're my favorite food.
Whoa.
I've never once seen French fries of any caliber.
News alert.
And had any reaction other than, ooh, I can't wait to eat those with some ketchup or other sort of dip-ems.
Yeah. Now here is the question.
Mm-hmm.
What format do you like your fry in? Just a regular thin crispy?
Yeah, I'm not a steak fry guy. But like, that's the thing. With a steak, I'll eat steak fries.
I like a crinkle.
Oh, a crinkle is good too. If mm-hmm. it's like, I find that crinkles, they don't really do a good job of salting those in the kind of way that I like. it's a whatever, for whatever reason, like, you know, the crispy ones are, you know, more exciting to me. And yeah, that's kind of the most important thing to be thinking about right now.
The Beef and Dairy Network is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast here on Maximum Fun, and I would recommend you listen to it. But don't just take it from me. What do the listeners have to say?
Would I recommend Beef and Dairy Network podcasts? No, I don't think I would.
Right, let me be very clear about this. Under no circumstances would I recommend this to anyone I've ever met.
No, absolutely not. No, I couldn't.
I feel quite sick thinking about the things I've heard.
Please stop calling me. Please leave me alone.
That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, available at MaximumFun.org and at all good and some bad podcast platforms.
Literally, just leave me alone.
Oh, this is nice. Episode 22, Traveling with Rachel.
Yeah. Can I tell you, babe, it's been so long, I don't even...
I mean, technically, we still travel together. It's just we have a child with us.
Or even more technically, we don't travel together.
Well, we sit in a car together and drive places.
That's fair.
That's like traveling.
That is like traveling. Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you that. Yeah, no, I mean, I love traveling with you. I can't wait. That's sort of what makes this whole thing the most intolerable is like,
yeah,
I really want to go, everybody wants to get out of their house and some people are just like, fuck it, let's do it. We're not in that particular camp, but I'm very much looking forward to, of course, as soon as the pandemic clears, I think we'll have a brand new baby. So there will be a sort of localized lockdown.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hey, que sera, sera, right? Don't know what that means. Oh, man. Song. Calling out a song. Episode 29. We were speaking of driving in the car. We were driving in the car, and this came on my like Spotify shuffle. Slow Burn by Kacey Musgraves. Been coming back to that album. It's contemplative, and it makes you feel so good. Slow Burn's got the good jams. I got back on that train a little bit after we watched Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Yes.
Pour one the fuck out.
Yes.
But yeah, now I've been listening to it sort of recreationally, not for work.
And that work would be...
Oh, sorry. I am I work for CMT, Country Music Television. So I've got I'm doing a lot of programming there. I'm going to just give a quick shout out to episode 45, which I not a particular topic on it, but the title of it was Frasiest. It's probably not okay to like compliment our own goof, but that's good. One that I think hasn't really aged particularly well, episode 61, our live show from Austin, seeing rental scooters in a sad, destroyed kind of state.
Whoa.
Maybe it's just kind of here in Austin, but I feel
they're gone.
And that was a very fun, you know, looking up in somebody's balcony on like one of those like high-rise apartments on 6th and just seeing a scooter up there that somebody had been like, this one's mine. Or seeing one forcibly crammed down into a sewer drain, like that's fun, but I think that era is over. Big shout out to Austin. Prop A got passed.
Yeah.
There was a Prop Austin. I don't know why you would know this if you don't live here, but Austin's a big city that is growing and growing and growing and has been extremely resistant to passing any kind of proposition about public transit outside of like, oh, we'll open up a new lane here. We'll add bus lanes downtown. That's going to fix everything, but like not expanding the kind of meager light rail system that we have now. But Prop A was on the ballot this election to... address that, and it passed, and that's very, very,
yeah,
very exciting because Austin deserves so much better.
Austin has like a sprinkling of public transportation.
I mean, the bus system's fine. Like the bus system is fairly comprehensive, if not like especially convenient for like certain routes. We need a light rail system. We need a light rail system going north south on like a main drag, and with Prop A, that is looking more like a reality. So that's super exciting. Austin's going to be transforming, I think, pretty wildly over the next couple of years. One of our friends works for this huge project, this huge sort of infrastructural park project called the Waterloo Greenway, down in the heart of the city, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. And
they're making this beautiful, huge, like family-focused kind of park that's just going to be incredible.
And renovating the creek itself, and doing a lot of work.
The creek itself used to just kind of be like sewage runoff, and I feel like they've really invested in making it a place where people want to be.
So it's cool. I feel like Austin, whenever people talk about Austin expanding, it's always in the context of like, you know, some new huge like office complex or apartment complex, which, you know, people often rightfully sort of decry. But I feel like these two things are like the first time Austin's been like, we're doing big stuff. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, like, hey, we're one of the country's largest cities. Maybe we should start really
acting like
putting our back into it. I wanted to give a shout out. Episode 54, I am offering this poem by Jimmy Santiago Baca. This is the poem with the corn. You remember the poem with the corn?
Oh, yeah.
Pot full of yellow corn, warm your belly in the winter.
Oh, yeah. I think we could all use a little bit of that.
I wasn't planning on reading the whole thing. I mean, I could.
They know what you said, the one with the corn, and I'm sure.
I said yellow corn, so.
Our audience sort of lit up, I imagine.
Just wanted to read this last stanza again.
Please.
I love you. It's all I have to give and all anyone needs to live and to go on living inside when the world outside no longer cares if you live or die. Remember, I love you.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is nice.
Such a good one. Man, Poetry Corner. I will say I have been hitting that corner hard lately.
There's a lot of good poems.
There's a lot of good poems. Listen, there are only like a finite number of soups.
Yeah.
But there are tons and tons and tons and tons of poems out there.
Let's say episode 69. First of all, nice.
Nice.
The Billy Crystal Cube, which is another good name for an episode. I did talk about crystals.
Oh.
I can't imagine I talked about their sort of like ability to channel energies or whatever, and I more talked about like crystal formations and how fucking cool that is, because it is. I still think it's super cool. But we watched the my next guest, or whatever, what is the David Letterman show called on Netflix, his interview show.
I think it's My Next Guest.
Yeah, I forget what it is, but he does he did an episode with Lizzo that was so delightful and genuinely insightful into an artist whose like work I have very much enjoyed for a long time. And she is deep in that crystal game.
Yeah, she spent a lot of time talking about crystals. And I was just kind of like pleased at the way that the conversation went. You know, I feel
they were clearly on two different sort of ideological, not ideological, but sort of like, I don't know.
I mean, David Letterman's like a crystal novice, you know?
Yes.
He like has an appreciation for them, but doesn't know a lot of, you know, kind of what some people would identify as like the soothing powers of them. And so it was just kind of nice to hear Lizzo, who is not somebody, you know, that is remotely pretentious or, you know, like uncomfortable to be around. Just kind of talk to an old man about crystals.
I gotta say, you know me, I like a good tactile object in my hand. Some of those crystals looked pretty good to hold.
They're like fancy fidget spinners, you know?
Well, I think there's probably a few people that would find that a bit reductive, but
well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like if you want something pretty to fiddle with.
True.
You know?
I think your dad got me some bismuth.
Yeah, because you were talking about bismuth, I remember.
Yeah. Maybe that's the start of what will be a new sort of thing for me. I don't know where I'm going to keep a bunch of crystals. Well, I'll find a place for them.
On top of the new gaming consoles.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe it'll help me be better at my Call of Duty games when I'm trying to get all the guys. Trying to get all the guys, but I can't get there. Should I use cheat codes? No way. Let's put some bismuth up there. What? Get some opal. A little bit of tourmaline. Now the KD ratio is looking pretty good.
Some rose quartz.
Get a little bit of rose quartz. You got to be careful with that stuff.
Amethyst.
That's another one.
Are we just naming them?
This would be fun. We can go back and forth.
Episode 65. Sorry, I'm going backwards a little bit, but Chex Mix.
Yeah, I may have last night
Oh, did you finish it off?
I crushed it. I tried to go to bed so many times last night. I even dipped into that ASMR well. I got these like wraparound sort of like headband earphones. I put them on, just cranked in like a 3-hour ASMR mix. And I was like getting it. I was getting it. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if Atlanta's turned into, I'm up. And then I just came upstairs for 2 hours and ate Chex Mix. It was Bad News Bears, but Chex Mix was good.
You know what is wild is when I first saw those wraparound headphones, I had a moment where I thought, is Griffin going to start doing some early morning running? And then I was like, wait, no. These are certainly for sleeping.
This is the time of year where I could do early morning
running. You could, yeah.
I just really don't want to. I just really, really, really don't want to.
Oh, episode 66, having short hair. This is not something I have anymore.
Rachel's hair, how long would you, it's like collarbone, if not past it, armpit length.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say collarbone, maybe a little, yeah, no, that's right. I haven't had hair this long since I was in graduate school, which was 2007. So yeah. It has been 13 years.
Yeah.
And it is wild. I'm using a lot more shampoo. I realize that I can't really get away with not combing it now, which is unfortunate.
I think you know my proclivities when we first started dating.
You were a short hair enthusiast.
I was a short hair enthusiast, yeah. But the thing is, and the thing that I've come to love is that your hair is so unimaginably soft.
Oh, see now.
You have that, I say this, and every time I say it, Rachel.
I don't believe it anymore.
You got that Sandra Oh hair. It's so rich.
That is the highest praise you could give anyone ever,
it's
Sandra Oh.
It's rich and voluminous and soft, and now there's more of it. I like that. Episode 79, I talked about chill hop or like lo-fi beats, and I can't think of a topic. I can't think of like a checkpoint in the history of our show that was more sort of transformative, because that very quickly became virtually the only kind of music that I listen to anymore. I'm exaggerating a bit, but like the kind of music I used to listen to when I was like working, I had like an acoustic, you know, gentle, non-lyrical playlist that I just don't do anymore. If I'm like going for a short drive somewhere and need some like background music, or I'm like doing some writing, which I've been doing a lot of lately, I just throw on some you know, lo-fi music, and
I guess I get that. I see, when I'm in the car, I kind of want to be hype, you know. I kind of want to be jamming out. I want to be like dancing in my seat in the car, typically.
Interesting. I mean, if we have Henry in the back, like I can't really get away with that for very long.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a why. Like episode 79 is when I really start. Whenever that episode came out is when I sort of found this new genre of music that I am now like completely embroiled in.
Oh, episode 82, Crash Bandicoot.
Was this me or you?
This is you.
Yeah.
But if you haven't watched Brian David Gilbert's Crash Bandicoot.
Very good.
A little YouTube video, I would recommend it.
Did I dedicate a whole segment to Crash Bandicoot, or was that a small wonder?
I don't know. I don't know how to tell from looking at this.
Well, if it has a picture of a little baby.
It does have a picture of
that's
a baby.
That's a small wonder, then. Yeah. I can't believe I dedicated a whole segment to Crash Bandicoot. There's a new Crash Bandicoot game. I haven't played it. I feel like I may have been full of shit back then. I like his style and his attitude, but that style, like 3D platformer.
He's like a little animal John Cena.
He is exactly a little animal.
John. Yeah, right? Gene
Shorts? Is exactly John Cena, the Bandicoot. Pretty cool. Episode 92, Summer View 2019 edition. How freaking long the day lasts. Not cutting the mustard in November 2020. That's not 2020's fault. That's one thing that I can't lay at the feet of 2020. Episode 107, Deep Hug Stink. We got Bon Appetit's YouTube channel. So that one's not, that one's not doing it. That one's not so good anymore.
R.I.P.
We'll say Stump Sola, though, on the Babish channel is really scratching that itch if you've not
and
checked
Claire
that out.
And Claire has a cookbook coming out, supposedly.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think I want to close out my list, at least, with a fairly recent episode 111, Tiger's Got a Scratch. Holiday inflatables, big holiday inflatables. Those are about to come back.
Oh.
And
we should talk about this as a couple.
Just to warn you, it is going to be, we're going to expand the roster at least by one.
We got a Mickey.
We got a Mickey. And who knows? We left that Mickey out into
the... It's in the garage. It's safe.
Okay. I mostly wanted to talk about 12-foot skeleton. I'm so jealous of everybody who got 12-foot skeleton. Our house is a bit like recessed below the street.
Yeah.
To a point where if we had a 12-foot skeleton in our front yard, he would just be kind of peeking above the hedges.
Peek over.
And that's amazing. That would be so fun. But it was like $300, right? It was not a cheap enormous skeleton. Well,
it was very trendy. So it's the kind of thing you trot that skeleton out next season. Everyone's like, oh, I see your last season skeleton up out in front of your house.
Are they
going to
do a fucking 15-foot skeleton? At a certain point, you know, shipping and logistics fulfillment becomes an issue with a 15-foot skeleton. I don't know how to get one of those to my house, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody gets them to their house.
I don't know. I think they airdrop them, like Operation Dumbo Drop.
Maybe you have to assemble them like some kind of doctor.
or some sort of paleontologist.
Just humming to yourself, the leg bones connected to them. And then you'd know how to put it together.
What if next season they release an expansion pack to 12-foot skeleton and it's a 12-foot muscular system? And then the next year, 12-foot nervous system, and then skin, and then you've just got a big guy, and then they'll sell clothes for him. Big clothes. big clothes. You know, repurpose some JNCO jeans as Crash Bandicoot shorts. That's fun.
Like those like cement geese, you know, where you could put a little hat on for Easter.
Love that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my grandma had one. It was like a little stone goose, and you could buy clothes for it depending on the season. So you could put a little trick-or-treat outfit on it in Halloween, and then a little turkey outfit on Thanksgiving. And it was a way to just kind of acknowledge, like through your front of house decor, that the seasons were changing. Kind of like my window cling, but a goose.
This seems like the kind of thing that I'm going to get corrected for, and maybe I shouldn't like die on this hill, but that really sounds like something that only your grandma did. It's not like a thing that everybody did.
I can't wait for all the tweets you're not going to see about this.
I don't know. It's not, I don't know if it comes in during, I don't know, if I get tweeted out about these stone geese when we're waiting some votes from Philadelphia, yes. I might fucking see them.
That's true. I just want to point out the funny timeline here. Episode 110, I talked about how Henry turned 3, and then episode 111, I talked about birth control.
Well, you clearly were not practicing what you were preaching at that time, because you are with child.
I am with child.
We're dialing in on a name, which is very exciting. Not going to say it on this show, so please don't ask. But that's very satisfying.
I was surprised by how much I wanted the second name to kind of coalesce with the first name.
Yeah.
I realized that if the name felt too different in like time period or tone, it felt like not appropriate to me. Yeah. So I always spent a lot of time trying to figure out like what's a good, solid name to go with Henry.
We also kind of knew the middle name, so it had to sound good with that, but it took some doing, but I think we've
spent a lot of time going back and forth on that.
Looking at a lot of names on the baby name Tinder app thing, which I think we talked about on the show. A lot of stinkers in the mix, but I think we got a good one. I think we're good. I think that this could be an episode. I think when you look
you
at
think
it,
we got there.
I think when you look at it. And somebody listens to it, they'll be like, that was, I listened to an episode of a podcast. Pretty undeniably. We don't have any submissions from our friends at home, which I apologize for. But we've been pretty, I don't need to couch this episode any more than I think we already have.
Yeah, we probably do have submissions. You're just saying that we have not looked at them.
We've not looked at them. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network.
Yeah. Thank you, Maximum Fun, for hosting our show. I would really encourage folks to check out Maximum Fun if you have not, to see what else you might like to listen to.
I think that's probably it. I don't really...
Keep drinking water,
guys.
Keep
drinking water. When this episode goes up, it doesn't take me very long to edit Wonderful, so I imagine we'll have it up by... you know, noonish or so. So like, who knows where things are going to be at that point?
Yeah, it's true.
But, and I need to practice what I preach here, but like, take breaks. Yes. And give yourself a break. I'm not saying like let yourself off the hook or anything, but I am saying that like clearly there is so much work to do. There yes. is so much work to do, and there is
and the news story that comes out at 11:57 will still be there at 1:02 if you go take a nice walk or eat a lunch
or take a nap.
Yeah.
The thing that buoys my spirits is like seeing, you know, marijuana legalization like sweep across the country, the minimum wage increase in Florida like passing by a pretty huge margin. Like there is a hunger for the work that needs to be done. So like I don't know, it feels weird to put an optimistic spin on what's happening right now, but I think the best thing we can say is just to, you know, give yourself a little bit of a break. You don't need to be there as every single vote is called. Obviously there's work to do in like curing ballots, and if that's something you can do, you should look into how you can volunteer there. But I'm mostly talking to myself right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, be present for the things that you love. You know, I think it is easy to kind of disassociate right now.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But that also means that you are disconnecting from the things that make you happy. And I think it's true. Important to give yourself space in that, too.
I've been dissociating so hard the past few days that I think I've technically been astrally projecting.
there's a little ghost of Griffin that hovers.
It just kind
Griffin.
Of floats. So it like explores the ether and like trow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
But
it's
he can not, reach not the great. Ceiling fans and
dust them off.
Dust them off, and I'm grateful for that.
Me too. That's it. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.